Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 113 of Season 8 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we fubar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is Bubble Wheat from so many different things. How about from the Real Crime Scenes podcast?
Yeah, I'm honored to get the title drop episode.
There you go. Why not? Of course. And so minute 113 begins with Mike telling his side of the story and ends with Trask explaining their weapons inventory. So basically we ended things yesterday with Miller contemplating what he wants to do here. So he asks Mike for some advice. And Mike gets ready to start telling him his advice. And he first says to him, he says, "You probably don't want to hear what I have to say." Why do you think it's that way? Why do you think Mike says that? Because this is even before we're going to get into what Mike's idea is. Do you think Mike is just concerned that he's overstepping his bounds here? What do you think his concern is as to why he doesn't think that Miller is going to enjoy or like his idea?
Yeah, it's tough to say, especially, you know, we'll probably get into it a little bit, but I feel like there's this kind of mirroring between Ryan and Miller that I talked about, but I do think that that Mike doesn't think that Miller would go for them staying and helping defend this bridge until the reinforcements come or until that it becomes a more stable situation. But at the same time, it's kind of reminds me of going back to like the machine gun hole, because that was another instance where that wasn't directly part of their mission, but that was something that's
you're talking about the radar. You're talking about the radar station.
Oh, the radar station, yeah.
Okay, no, because the machine gun hole is basically at the end of the assault, on on the beach.
Yeah, but I do remember them. They talk about it. That they have the machine gunners there, right? And it's like the ambush point. Right. And they decided to take that anyways, even though it wasn't directly part of their mission, because that would be something that, they thought that they would be able to relatively easily do, and it would end up saving the lives of anyone coming from a slightly different direction that would have gotten ambushed.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yeah. So, the two of them are basically standing on the other side of the bridge having this little conversation. And you can see some of the characters that we know in the background. Obviously, Upham is very prominently shown there. But you also see a lot of the destruction of this little town, along with a whole bunch of different mechanized weapons. And you have a place with a whole bunch of sandbags that they're using, as a post and things like that. And so Mike just basically tells Miller what he thinks. And he goes, "Well, part of me thinks the kid's right. What's he done to deserve this? He wants to stay here. Fine. Let's leave him and go home." Yeah. I don't think General Marshall is going to be very happy about that one. It says, "Well, okay, how'd your mission go?" "Well, it went really well. We found Ryan, but he said he's not coming, so we just left him." I don't think that would have gone over so well.
Yeah.
And Miller just looks at him and goes, "Yeah, And then Mike continues and says, but another part of me thinks that what if, by some miracle, we stay and actually make it out of here? Someday we might look back on this and decide that Saving Private Ryan was the one decent thing we were able to pull out of this whole god-awful shitty mess. That's what I'm thinking, sir. Like you said, Captain, we do that, we all earn the right to go home. So it's an interesting idea that Mike gives here, you know, with the way that he says it. Because, you know, they're not really following their orders. Their orders are to take Ryan and bring him home. So both of Mike's ideas, you know, either saying, okay, he doesn't want to come with us, forget him. That goes against their orders. And staying and fighting is also going against their orders. Because their orders are to get Ryan back home safely. You know, one of the things that Mike fails to mention here is, says, okay, you know, if by some miracle we stay and actually make it out of here. So he doesn't refer to the fact that, you know, Ryan also has to get out of there. You know, that's also not going to look so well if they say, well, we found him and then we got into a firefight and he got killed. As opposed to us trying to find a way to, you know, to keep him as safe as possible. Any way you look at it, you know, I mean, what Mike says here is quite deep with what he's talking about. And
even though I have a, you know, as much as I don't like CinemaSins, it as soon as I heard Saving Private Ryan, the first thing that popped into my head is roll credits.
Well, you think at this point they should have rolled the credits?
Well, that's the running joke in CinemaSins. Anytime they say the title of the movie, they say roll credits.
I'm not familiar. What is CinemaSins?
What is that? Oh, you're probably off better.
I don't get it.
Yeah, you're probably better off not knowing, but it's one of those. It's a, you know, popular YouTube channel where they take popular movies and they point out all the plot, like all the negative things that make it a bad movie, and they have like a counter, and yeah, one of the running jokes is anytime they'll have a clip of the movie saying the title of the movie, and their running joke is anytime they say that, they say roll credits.
Got it. Okay. I'll take your word for it on that one.
Yeah, I don't recommend watching it, but it's something my younger daughter has enjoyed in the past, and you know, I've seen more of those than I wanted to. I much prefer the YouTube channel called Cinema Wins, which kind of takes the same format, except they point out all the positive points of movies, both you know, both the positive points of bad movies, but also the positive points of good movies.
Positive points are always better to look at, in my opinion.
Yes.
You know, that's what I would think. Interesting. Okay. But again, the whole idea here is that you know, we don't really hear Miller's thoughts on these things. You know, he yesterday we talked about the fact that he's, you know, having his own conversation with himself as to what he should be doing and how he's going to do it and stuff like that. But he doesn't tell us what he wants. He says, okay, Mike, what do you think? And, you know, at the end of this conversation, that's it. It's not that Miller goes, okay, that's a great idea, let's do that, or anything like that. It's that, or it's not as if that he says, well, I was thinking that maybe we should do whatever, you know, that type of thing. But he doesn't. You know, as far as he's concerned, this is a great idea. This is what I was thinking also, and let's do this.
Yeah, I think, again, kind of comparing this situation to the radar situation, I believe that the radar station situation would be considered like a medium risk, high value maneuver that they did. And, you know, because of that, then Miller decided that it was worth the kind of low to medium risk in order to get the high value of return. You know, by taking the radar station, they could potentially save a lot of lives. Where this one, it's a high risk, but also a high value situation where if they decide to stay, then it is very risky that, you know, because they have so few men and such limited ammunitions, that there's a much higher chance that many of them will die, which, you know, does happen. But the rewards is that if they keep the bridge, then that is, you know, a big step closer to winning the war overall. And that, I think that's also what Mike is saying whenever he's saying we all earn the right to go home, because that's also, you know, repeating something that Miller said during the radar station.
True, but you also have to look at it from the perspective that what does he mean by earn the right to go home? It's not as if they're going to finish this mission and everyone's going to say, hey, you guys did a great job. You all get a ticket home. It's like, you know, this is June of 1944. You know, anyone who knows history knows that it's going to be almost, was it 10 months till the Germans surrender?
Yeah, but it's still, you know, it's one step closer to winning the war. And then once they win the war, then everybody gets to go home.
Oh, for sure. That's 100%. But to say they earn the right, to earn the right basically means that there are things that you can do here that you lose points for doing. You know, it's like, okay, you can gain points by if you earn the right, but you know what happens when, you know, how do you lose points here?
I mean, you lose points by dying, and that's, you know, you lose all the points.
No, but that's game over.
Yeah.
That's not you know, there's no phantom life or whatever it's called, you know, when you have the cheat in the video game and stuff like that. You know, it actually reminds me that it was about 2.5 years ago. I was at like an arcade where they let you play like old arcade games and stuff like that. And, you know, and you could play as much as you want, but when you die, you can just continue from that point. And to me, it sort of took away from the whole idea of it, because, you know, if you're playing a game, you die, you go back to the beginning. It's not that they automatically give you another credit to move forward, you know, from that perspective. I mean, that's the way, at least when I was a kid, when you played video games, you know, in the arcade games, that's the way it was.
Yeah, I kind of like the there's a middle ground. There's not too many of them, because I do think most of them go to the free play option and, you know, just let you play all you want. But there is a few that are like nickel arcades, which is kind of the middle ground, where it's, you know, it's still low cost, you know, it's just a nickel, but you still have that, you know, you still have to feed another nickel into the game in order to keep playing. So you still have that effect of, you know, the nostalgia effect.
Right. Okay. That makes sense also from that perspective. I mean, I remember you know, that what they had there was, is you paid per time. You weren't paying per machine or anything like that. And that was the drawback from my perspective, you know, from the whole thing. But it was still fun. But regardless, you know, at a certain point, you're just, okay, it's enough. Let's move on to the next one. You know, that type of thing. And then, you know, after they have this conversation and finally come to a conclusion as to what they're doing, and, you know, we get a shot of, well, first thing, we have Miller says, oh, brother.
Yeah, which, you know, I mean, that's his whole response. Very much, very significant choice of words there.
Yeah. Exactly. Doesn't really doesn't say much, and then the scene changes, and we get the last few seconds of this minute where we're given these characters having, you know, a look at the inventory of what weapons they have left. So, you know, we have a character whose name is Trask, and he basically says, this is everything. You got the two 30 caliber machine guns, and then he gets cut off. with what he says. But I actually wanted to focus on his name, Trask. Have you heard that name before?
Well, I mean, in terms of comic books, the first one that comes to mind is Bolivar Trask from the X-Men. I believe he's I believe he's a villain. I, you know, my memory kind of fails me, but that's definitely the first one that comes to mind.
Well, isn't that Peter Dinklage in X-Men Days of Future Past?
Probably. Yeah, so that would be the, you know, the guy that's created the Sentinels.
Right, I'm pretty sure that's who it is. When I started doing the research on that, I go Trask, and I was like, oh, comic books, you know, and it's a movie that came from a comic book also. So I mean that's definitely up Bubba's alley. It's like perfect choice of minutes for you from that perspective. So I'm pretty sure that is Peter Dinklage played Bolivar Trask. There you go. So, you know, I found that there's that one. The family in John Steinbeck's novel East of Eden, they're known as the Trasks. In the movie Working Girl with Melanie Griffith, she worked at a company called Trask Industries. On the TV show, I don't know if you've seen the one season that they had of this, Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Oh, yeah, that was a great show. I was so disappointed that it only lasted one season.
Yeah, me too. It was great. It's they did a great job of giving us the behind the scenes of a Saturday Night Live type of show. And anything you get from Aaron Sorkin, I mean, he was great. I mean, he did The West Wing, and then this show I thought would really work, but apparently the critics and the stations didn't want it to continue going, so it didn't. What can I tell you? But on that show, there was a Trask security company that was dealt with. There was an episode which dealt with someone being kidnapped and ransomed and stuff like that. In the TV show Lois and Clark: The New Adventures of Superman, there is a character named Jason Trask, who's a rogue government agent. And then going to the Marvel stuff, as you mentioned, there's Bolivar Trask, who's the creator of the Sentinels. He has a brother in the comics known as Simon Trask, who is the founder of Humanity's Last Stand. Then he has Bolivar Trask has a son who's a mutant named Larry Trask. Now, do you know what the name Trask possibly means?
No idea.
The truth is, it doesn't really have an explanation as to what it is, but it is a brand name of high quality footwear, particularly boots, known for their durability and style. So Trask boots are popular among people who are outdoor enthusiasts. And there is also a programming language known as Trask. It's used for educational or experimental purposes. So how common do you think the last name of Trask is in the U.S.?
I would guess like that it's not very common.
If we were to say between 1 and 10,000, you know, one being the family name that is, you know, that has the most people with the name. Where would you think? Exactly. What range would you put it in? Obviously, you're not going to know the exact number, and that's fine. I'd be very impressed if you did, but
I'd probably guess it'd be like down in the 8,000s.
No, it's actually 5,639. And according to the latest census, there are 6,162 people that were named Trask, that had the last name Trask. Okay, which approximately means that of every 100,000 people in the U.S. with the name Trask, sorry, approximately 100,000 people in the U.S., two of them would be named Trask. You know, just to give you an idea of how, of how popular I guess that name is. Right. So yeah. So Trask starts telling us a little bit about some of the weapons that are still left, and we're gonna have to wait until tomorrow to find out a little bit more as to what he has there. But the actor who plays Trask is an actor named Ian Porter, who has 76 IMDb credits. The two that jumped out at me were besides this movie, obviously, is he played a general in the Kingsman in 2016, and there's a recent miniseries that just came out called Lockerbie, all about the Lockerbie bombing, and I saw it a few weeks ago. It was excellent in my opinion, and he's in two episodes there as one of the prominent characters. Besides that, I couldn't really find anything that really jumped out at me of the 76 things that he was in. So is you have anything else you want to say about this particular minute?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, great. So every Wednesday we have a segment called World War II Wednesday, where my guests will give their top five World War II movies. So I know you're not a fan of war movies, so you probably don't have that many, but I have my faith in you. There must be some comic book adaptation that deals with World War II or something like that.
Well, I mean the obvious one and is one on my list as my number five is Captain America the First Avenger. It's kind of the fictional version of World War II, but there are definitely some real life parallels before he starts going off after Red Skull into the fictional side of things.
Now you know that there will be a minute by minute show coming out next at the end of this year on that. Jim O'Kane is doing it with Joe Johnston.
I'm looking forward to that. I was also on the Marvel Movie Minute whenever they covered that movie. And then my number four, again, I think I'm going to go a little bit more surrealistic and fantastical and go with Pan's Labyrinth. That is, Guillermo del Toro's kind of like the almost like an isekai, I think is kind of the word in the zeitgeist lately is the little girl that kind of goes into this fantasy world, and it's much darker than most of the Japanese and also kind of the Western isekai style stories like Labyrinth and the 80s Labyrinth. It's much darker than that one, but it's still a pretty fantastic movie, and it's does take place during World War II.
Well, that's somewhat debatable as to whether it takes place during World War II because it takes place in Spain during the Franco rebellion, which was slightly before. But I'll still give it to you. Okay, it does overlap a little bit. We're not sure exactly if it's taking place during World War II or not, but it is in the late 1930s. Let's put it that way.
I didn't do a ton of research, but I did see somewhere where they mentioned that it's some list put it on a World War II movie. So,
No, that's fine.
and then my number three again is a very dark and also not really a war movie, but it does take place during World War II, and it's I know some it has shown up on other people's lists, and it is again one of those movies where it's you watch it once and you're glad that you watched it once, but it's going to be a long time before you watch it again, and that's Grave of the Fireflies. It's just such a beautiful haunting and heartbreaking movie. And then my number two, again, this is another movie that takes place during World War II. It takes place in Italy. There is like a little bit of war elements to it, but it's mostly kind of a character drama in a way. And that's General Della Rovere. And that's a movie that I watched for Howard Kasner's podcast. He paired it with Total Recall in terms of someone pretending to be someone they're not, or there's definitely identity issues connecting the two of them. But that's really a fantastic movie of someone that's basically a con man that gets in trouble with the law for trying to save people from the Nazis in Italy, but then he ends up having to play the leader of the resistance that they had kind of accidentally killed, in order to try and get the other leaders of identify the other leaders of the resistance in this prison. But then while he's spending time in this prison, he ends up sympathizing with the other prisoners and ends up being executed rather than give up the name of the current rebel leader.
Wow. Okay. I've never heard of that one. That's pretty interesting.
It's like
From 1959, I thought.
And it's it's in Italian, so it is a foreign movie, but it's it's a really great movie, definitely worth watching. And then for my number one, it is really the only stereotypical war movie that takes place during World War II that I've seen, and that's Saving Private Ryan.
Well, yeah, you've seen The Great Escape, haven't you?
No, I have not.
Really? How'd you listen to my podcast without having seen it?
I actually that's that's a season that I did skip because I haven't watched the movie. It's on
Oh, now
my
you have
it's
homework.
on my big
You have
list,
homework.
and my kind of overarching goal is to eventually listen to all the Movies by Minutes podcasts, but I do have to watch the movie first, and so I'm still kind of cherry picking the ones of movies that I've seen before I start going to the movies that I haven't seen yet.
Okay, that's fair. I understand that. All right, that is a great list. Thank you very much for that. So, Bubba, would you like to once again tell everyone where they can find you?
Sure, I haven't run out of projects that I haven't talked about yet. So, today I will, I think I'll go a little bit farther back, this is a podcast that has pretty much been retired at this point, but I do have most of the like 87 episodes that I did. It's a podcast called FilmWise, and that's WHYS, which stands for Why Haven't You Seen This Movie? And I talked about it a little bit on earlier this week, and each episode I would have a guest come on and introduce me to a classic or a modern classic or a cult classic movie that I'd never seen before, but it's a movie that they love. And then in return, I have them watch a superhero comic book movie that they've never seen before. And there's, generally no connection between the two movies. It's just, kind of a tit for tat. And there's some interesting pairings like Jaws and Superman 2, The Donner Cut was like the first episode. And I use that to really help expand my movie knowledge while I was doing my superhero movie blog, and that was fun to really have an excuse to watch a lot of classic movies. Like I use that to watch The Godfather and Sunset Boulevard, and also some other cult classics whose names are escaping me right now, like even like Charlie Chaplin, the Gold Rush was another one. And then and often the trade-off is not equal, because a lot of the superhero comic book movies that I get my guests to watch are sometimes, you know, they have, you know, not nearly as high quality, you know, things like the fourth Crow movie, Wicked Game, or the 1970s Captain America movie, Death Too Soon. That's but it was a lot of fun, and you know, if I had more time, I would love to get back to it. But it's a lot of work watching two movies to discuss each episode.
Right, understandable. I agree. Sometimes it's even hard watching 5 minutes to discuss on every episode. All right, great. Thank you for that. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierobminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this.
In my solitude, you haunt me. Reveries of days gone by.